Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ this morning on our celebration of the day of Pentecost. And if you notice, up behind me on the altar, our flowers and our sash are still up from Easter, which gives us a beautiful image, doesn't it, of the fruits of the cross and the resurrection flowing into the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And so we're blessed to celebrate together and receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament. And on the topic of the Holy Spirit, often we miss his work among us. And this morning, our Lord Jesus is going to teach us more about how he's at work constantly, all the time, to lead us to faith and life and eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we welcome you again in the name of the Lord. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thank you for tuning into our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings as well. May his words speak to us and encourage our faith and lead us. Our service begins this morning with hymn number 498 in your hymnal, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. And we'll join in singing that hymn together. And we do invite on the last verse of the hymn, the congregation to stand if you're able then, as we sing together, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. Let's sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our introit from Acts 2 and Romans 10. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for this day of Pentecost comes from the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'd be remiss not to draw the connection between the Tower of Babel account, which we're about to hear from Genesis, and the day of Pentecost. At the Tower of Babel, the Lord confused the languages in order that in time, and it, according to his plan, he might bring the whole earth together and unite them, not in one language, but in one Savior. We begin in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the 143rd Psalm. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading, our epistle lesson from the book of Acts this morning, from chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Let us go from here." This is the gospel of the Lord. We invite you to confess our faith together with us now to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, made in one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day? It's 497, Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Pentecost is a really big deal. A really big deal. And why? Well, Jesus told us in our gospel reading this morning, it was in verse 26 that he said these words, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Here, in a very straightforward way, Jesus tells us the work of the Holy Spirit. And according to this verse, the Holy Spirit has two main works that Jesus is talking about here that he does for us. And neither one of them is mutually exclusive of the other. First, he said, he will teach you all things. Not some things, but all things. This is echoed also in John's epistle in 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 and 27, where John's warning us about false teachers. That's verse 26. And then in verse 27, he tells us that we have no need for them, those false teachers. He writes, "But the anointing that you received from Christ abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." What is John saying to us here? What is he saying? But that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Just as Christ himself taught his disciples, so does his Spirit still teach us. Not through false teachers, and not even from man at all, but through his very word recorded for us on the pages of Holy Scripture. This verse said, "You have no need that anyone teach you," and that doesn't mean that people aren't going to be doing the teaching. Or that the Holy Spirit works apart from means and apart from the office of the ministry. It doesn't mean that we have magic teaching in our own feelings or our own thoughts. That we could learn without real voices and real words. We know that's ridiculous. We can't learn apart from those real things. We have to have them. And it certainly doesn't mean that the church doesn't really serve a purpose, as so many understand in our world today, or that Bible study is somehow useless since the Spirit will just do the heavy lifting for me, like it's pre-programmed or some weird thing where people trust in their own wisdom instead of the Lord with all their heart. It's pretty cool because I get the blessing as a pastor to see a little bit of how this works each and every Sunday. How the Spirit teaches us all things, I mean. See, I spend an entire week cramming and cramming and writing and writing and writing. Many weeks I write, some of you know this already because I've confessed to you, I write up to 10 different sermons. It's just how I do it, you know. Before I will bring one, and struggle every week to come up with what the Lord might want for you all. And because I too am a man and a sinner, I'm never completely confident with what I'm saying. I'm always second guessing myself. But then each Sunday, I preach whatever I have to offer, and I get to watch. This is the amazing part. Not at all how good I am at this. But I get to watch how the Holy Spirit uses God's words and how John's words are true about him in his epistle. Because people tell me often after church, sometime immediately following the service or later in the week, what they got from the sermon or the Bible study. And often, I'm completely surprised at what they say to me that they heard or that they understood from the sermon. What he did, what the Spirit did with the Word of God within them and within their heart. See, it's him. He is really with us. He's really the helper, as the scriptures call him, the Spirit of Christ. According to his own promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And we get to see what Jesus meant when he said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, or at least a piece of it, a tiny sliver. I see it when people tell me what they got out of the sermons. In his divine wisdom, in his own amazing ability, he takes his word and the Spirit divinely teaches us according each to our own unique situation and what's going on in our own lives. And he rightly divides that word of truth in both law and in gospel, and he convicts us of our sin and he gives us his forgiveness. He uses God's word to teach us in all of our specific lives, in all of our joys, and in all of our struggles. I had a homiletics professor when I was in seminary at Fort Wayne. His name was Reverend Dr. Admiral Daniel Gard. You may know him. He taught my homiletics 3 class in Fort Wayne, and he said these words to all of us, and I've never forgotten them. He said, "You know, when you die, guys, your kids might want to publish your sermons." And then Dr. Gard said, "Tell them not to." And you know why? Because they're not that good. That's why. I think basically he was telling us this. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the lifting, brothers and sisters, not our whimsical intellects or our amazing knowledge or something like that. No, no, no. It's the helper that the Father sent us at Pentecost that does this for us, that uses the preached word of Christ. The Spirit uses the scripture to treat our sin-sick condition, to apply law and gospel to our hearts and lives. And it's all glory to God, who is truly our helper, practically in every day and reality of our lives by the word of our Lord Jesus. But Jesus told us another thing that the Holy Spirit does too in verse 26. That, like we said, works together with the first thing, not mutually exclusive. He said, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things," and then here's the conjunction, "and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." This is the rest. Another thing that he does. And this is for the rest of the week, so to speak. For our daily lives and vocations, not just Sunday morning, not just Bible study, not just the preached word, but also how it goes out these doors with us as we go into our vocations and our lives every week. Now this statement, that he'll bring to remembrance all that I have said to you, has a direct context within the pages of the scripture. If you remember in John chapter 2, the disciples are there and they're listening in as Jesus is accused by the Jews about the temple. They're talking about the temple. And Jesus says to them, he says, "Tear this temple down and I'll build it again in 3 days. And they say, if you recall the story from John 2, "It's taken us 46 years to build this temple, And you're going to build it again in 3 days? And then John helps us, right? In the narrative of the gospel, he says, for he spoke of the temple of his body. He was talking about his death and resurrection. And then John helps us a little more to understand even what Jesus is telling us this morning in John 14. That when the disciples, after Jesus was resurrected, his disciples, this is what the text says, his disciples remembered the words that he said and believed in him. See what's going on there? He will bring to your remembrance, Jesus said, all that I have said to you. This is the direct context for what Jesus is saying to us in our text. But normally we'll read that scripture, his disciples remember that Jesus has said this, and we'll think, oh, of course they remembered. I mean, it happened, right? We don't think about this reality, this helper, the Holy Spirit, that brought that to their remembrance. This is why Jesus does what he does with the disciples even before the day of Pentecost. If you recall the text from the end of John's gospel, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, so they could remember. It's pretty incredible. It was the Spirit. This is what Jesus is teaching us this morning by his word for our own lives. And this is what the Spirit is rightly dividing in our hearts in the hearing of his word. And this is help for the rest of the week too. When you remember the words of Scripture, when I do, it is not by accident. No matter what you're doing in your daily routine, when the scripture shows up in your mind, it is not just because of a coincidence. I think often that's what we assume. No, not according to this text. It's God's faithfulness. It's the helper, the Holy Spirit. It's true and it is not a lie. He's teaching us about our lives and our families and our situations, and he's even communicating with us in this way. The helper is helping us through the word, not apart from it. To remember God's word throughout our days and nights, throughout our situations and our joys and our struggles, it's never our doing. And it's not something to take lightly. It's the Holy Spirit doing exactly what Jesus told us he would do. It's him helping us according to the promise that we too might have the same reality as those disciples that remembered that he'd said these things and they believed. That's what he's doing with us as well. So I encourage you this morning, from the bottom of my heart, I encourage you to pay attention to those moments when God's word pops in your mind, when you remember a scripture, when you remember something from the Bible, even a teaching, a truth. Pay attention, because he's helping you. And I also want to do one more thing. I want to challenge you that this coming week, that you pay attention to how the Lord brings his scripture to your situations and your experiences this week, what he brings to your mind, and that you write it down. Because on Sunday morning, in our Bible class, at 8:30, I'm going to ask you not to give me the personal details, but to maybe share what he brought and when, if you're willing, so that we can rejoice in this gift, this wonderful reality of the Spirit at work literally, practically, pragmatically, and physically in our own lives and moments. And I want to give you one example before we're finished of a way that this happens actually for us, so that we can contextualize it. So hopefully we'll all, including myself, pay attention as this happens throughout the week. So here's one way. It's a simple one. But when we sin, when we purposefully break God's commandments, then what happens next? But don't we feel guilt and contrition? Don't we feel sorrow and maybe even afraid? This is the helper. He's bringing to our remembrance what the scripture says, that God's wrath is against those who break his commandments, and that to fall into the hands of the living God is a terrible thing. But then what else does the Helper do? Oh, I see the Spirit. What else does he bring to our minds immediately after that guilt and contrition almost consumes us and we feel so dirty and so terrible? But he brings us the scriptures as well. That Jesus Christ, Son of God, walked on our earth, that he was tempted in every way as we are tempted, yet he was without sin and we are not, yet he traveled these dusty roads and went to this cross for us. And that by his stripes we are healed and we're forgiven. And the Spirit brings that to us and we cry out, oh Lord, forgive me. Because we know Jesus was for us. He's the Helper. And he's leading us and he's guiding us on our way to eternal life. For whoever confesses and believes will be saved, the scripture said. And the cross is where Jesus died for us, where the Lamb of God shed his blood for the life and the forgiveness of sins of the world. So don't be fooled when the scripture comes to your minds. It's not our amazing memory at work. It's the Helper. There's lots of ways it happens. It might not be a quote from the Bible that you bring in. It might be a truth from the Bible that he brings to you. But bring him in on Sunday and share him with us. 8:30 Bible study. Love to have you. See, Pentecost was a really big deal when his Spirit, his Helper, came to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service when our offerings are collected and presented. Our organist will share some instrumental music as we do that. We now come to the time in our service for our prayers of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. Comfort us with divine peace, and do not let our hearts be troubled or afraid. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, let your Spirit be at work through Matthew, our Synod President, through James, our District President, Lord, and through our new circuit visitor, Nick, and all our pastors as they proclaim your word. May he teach us all things and bring to remembrance all your Son has said to us, Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, bless all the translators of the Holy Scriptures, that every nation may hear the good news of your mighty works in their own language. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of might, preserve your people from their enemies. Bring peace to the nations and prosper the cause of life. Bless our leaders, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Give them a relentless pursuit of just laws for the common good of all, with a heart of mercy for the weak and the vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy. Light of this dark world, you have sent your Holy Spirit to your church as the comforter. Lord, soothe the wounds of your people according to your will. Bring restoration to broken families. Heal the sick. Uplift and give joy to the depressed. Provide for the poor. Uphold the forgotten. And answer the prayers of all who call out to you for aid. Especially, we name before you this morning James Wright, Eric's family, Lord, also the family of Carolyn Jerry, the Etsy family, Larry Wilcox, Jeff Autopolic, Gail Nelson, Jay Kemp, Carol Schrader, Carl Keller, Lord, the family and the friends of Susan St. Cyr, Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Sandy Cody, Larry Reinbarger, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson. Lord, and also we name before you CJ's sister and her upcoming surgery. Lord, be with all those who we've brought to you from the altar and all those that we name before you silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. O God, by your Holy Spirit, convict us of sin and of righteousness in Christ instead of righteousness in ourselves, and of the judgments of your holy word. Sanctify our hearts by the forgiveness of sins, and make us fit partakers of Christ's holy body and precious blood this morning. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of rest, you know the struggles of your people, and you have promised rest from our labors and peace at the last. Give comfort to all those who mourn, and raise up our hearts with the promise of the resurrection and the blessed reunion where we shall stand before you without fear and enjoy your perfect peace forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue in faith, increase in love and good works, and trust firmly not in ourselves and our doings, but in your grace. Obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. 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 If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings on your week. Encourage you also to pay attention to the scriptures that come to mind throughout the week. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alabama.